Tack så mycket till Haji Haider och till Broder Mohammed Abdelrahman för tafsir respektive koranrecitation. Vi ska inte dröja och som vanligt fortsätta programmet med Sheikhen, så välkomna honom med salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد
وآل بيت الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح العالمين له الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Brothers and sisters, again, we're gathered here and we are trying to use this month, the month of Ramadan, this blessed month, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our duties as Muslims and to pave the way for the return of the Mahdi. And we're told in a hadith to always expect his return. At any time, if God sees enough readiness in the hearts of the believers, the Imam could make his return. This hadith is from Imam al-Sadiq, salamullahi alayhi, and he says, تَوَقَّ أَمْرَ صَاحِدِكْ لَيْلَكَ وَنَهَارَكْ. So he says, expect the return of the Imam day and night, at any time, if I am to get my act together, if I'm to do enough, make God happy with me, my Imam could return. So when we're reviewing these verses, these ayat of the Holy Quran, a hadith of Ahlul Bayt, we're doing it with this niyyah, reforming the self, and hastening the reappearance of our Master. Right now we're on verse number 32. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in relating the story. قَالَتْ فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي فِيهِ وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْسَمْ وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا آمُرُهُ لَيُسْجَنَنَّ وَلَيَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ. So Zulaykha now speaking. We remember where we are in the story. In the story, Zulaykha was made a move for Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf rejected, ran away, tried to get, he came and they met her husband at the door. The husband saw what was happening. A witness spoke up. When that witness spoke up, he realized that Zulaykha was wrong, Yusuf was right. At this time, then he told Yusuf, leave it alone. When this information got out, because this was not something that Zulaykha was doing only at this particular time, once it got out, the word spread, everyone started to, those people who were Zulaykha's peers, started to speak about Zulaykha and talk about her, how terrible she was. When she heard this, it hurt her and she arranged for a party. In the party, then Yusuf alayhi salam was invited. The women saw Yusuf and then they had that reaction that, oh my God, who is this person? And now Zulaykha, seeing this reaction, speaks. She said, that is the one on whose account you blame me. Yusuf alayhi salam, now that you're seeing him, now you're cutting your hands. That is the person on whose account you blame me. Certainly I wanted to seduce him. Now, instead of hiding it openly, yes, I did want to seduce him. But he absolutely refused. And if he does not do what I command him, surely he will be in prison and definitely be among the abased. He'll be humiliated if he doesn't do what I want. So when Zulaykha saw the reaction of the women, her tone changed. Before this, it had been in secret, right? But now she realizes they know what she's been going through, what I've had to put up with. Now they understand why, as a married woman, she would be chasing after this man. They understand. She sees in their reaction, their faces, she knows. It's all over. She's won. Let's look at the Arabic a little bit, what Allah says over here. قَالَ So Zulaykha speaks. فَذَلِكُنَّ الَّذِي لُمْتُنَّنِي فِي She uses the word ذَلِكَ. In the Arabic language, if something is close, they will say هَذَا. If something is far, they will say ذَلِكَ. Sometimes this is used to indicate greatness. If I was to speak, this is in the Arabic language, it's also in Farsi, maybe in some other languages, I don't know what it's like in Swedish. If you do this in the Arabic language, if you refer to someone who's right here, and you say ذَلِكَ, then that indicates greatness. And some of the Mufassirin have said this is what she was doing to indicate the greatness of Yusuf. Now she sees all of their reaction. It says here, وَلَمْ تَقُلْ فَهَذَا. She didn't say, this Yusuf, this young man, right? Even though he was present, it says, رِفْعًا لِمَنْزِلَتِهِ فِي الْحُسْنِ. Because of how beautiful, how handsome he was, everybody, they had that kind of a spectacular reaction. So he says, yeah, that young man, that gentleman, right? They were saying one of the malaika. So then she continues. She says, وَلَقَدْ رَوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ فَاسْتَعْسَمْ. So I definitely wanted to seduce him, and he didn't agree. Absolutely, he didn't bend at all. He didn't give in. So even his rivals, even the rivals of Hazrat Yusuf, admitted to his chastity. Yusuf alayhi salam is so pious, even the enemies now are saying that. Then she says something else. Again in the Arabic, وَلَعِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا أَمُرُهُ لَيُسْجَنَنَّ وَلَيَكُونَنْ مِنَ الصَّاخِرِينَ. We learn from the Arabic statement that there is a qasam here. She's swearing by God. I swear to God, if he doesn't do what I've commanded him to do, then definitely he will be in prison. Definitely, 100% he's going to go to prison, and he will be humiliated. And normally that's a terrible punishment for someone. Yusuf alayhi salam, remember his life story, right? He starts off, he's honored with his father, he's the beloved son, right? Beloved son with his father. Then humiliated, his brothers trying to destroy his honor, put him in the well, get rid of his remembrance altogether. Then he's sold as a slave after being a free man and the son of a prophet, sold as a slave. Then now life is starting to turn good. You're a favorite, you're respected, living in the good life. And now if you want to stick to your principles, you will pay the ultimate price. You will be punished. You'll be humiliated, and I will make sure that that happens. So, if we look at the verses of the Holy Quran, we realize that this threat that she was making about Yusuf was even more serious than the threat that she made last time. Remember what happened last time. Last time, her husband catches her outside the door, so they're running for the door, get caught, and then she says, right, to her husband, what is the punishment of someone who wants to do bad to your wife, except that he is either, well, let me read the verse for you. قَالَتْ مَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِكَ سُوءًا. So what is the jaza or the punishment of the one who wants to do wicked or something wicked or bad with your wife? إِلَّا أَنْ يُسْجَنْ. Either that he should be in prison, or عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ, or painful punishment. So one of the two punishments, and axing the husband. Now look at what she's saying. Here she's saying there's two punishments. There she said one of the punishments. What's the punishment? Either that he be imprisoned or a painful punishment. Here, two punishments he's definitely going to get. So two types of punishment, imprisoned and humiliated. Secondly, she's not saying asking the husband to do this. I am going to make this happen. That's very serious. Before, asking the husband, what should the punishment be? Now, no. If he doesn't do what I say, I swear to God, either he will be punished, he will be punished, meaning he will be imprisoned and he will be humiliated. So the tone is very severe now. She's not asking the husband to imprison, she has that kind of power. If she can get Yusuf out of that first trap, the way she offended last time, she can easily get him to be in prison. Now, because we're looking at these verses for inspiration and to try and prepare the way for the return of the Imam, when I read these verses, when you listen to these verses, when we ponder over these verses together, we're trying to see how do these verses apply to us, how can we better ourselves and become those true soldiers of the Imam. There's one lesson that we can get from this first part. Zuleika, if we remember, up until now, has been very nice and charming. When she was talking to Yusuf alayhi salam, trying to convince him, any nice thing that Yusuf needed, any favor, right? Up until now, because it had been, this is a gradual process. She's building him up to ask him to go away from God. Right? So anything Yusuf needs, any help, assistance, I'm at your service, smiling, friendly, charming, dressed up, beautiful. Then when she now needs something from him and he's not giving it, then you see Zuleika without the mask. The real haqiqah of Zuleika you see now. All that anger and frustration. What can we use, how can we use this as inspiration for us? For ourselves as believers, one of our challenges is to try and develop these true akhlaqi traits and have them come and become part of our existence and not even something that we have to struggle to do. This is, again, this is a good thing. Let me give you a good thing. Let me build up to where I want to go. It's a good thing if, on my dealings with other believers, even when I'm unhappy with them, I do what my duty is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, I am a mean person, for instance, and I'm dealing with you. But your responsibility between you and God is to be kind to this brother. He doesn't know. So you're doing your duty. But secretly, maybe inside, you're churning. Inside, I am angry at this person. Because they're doing the wrong thing. There's another stage that one can achieve. This can happen through spiritual training, if it's done properly, where I reach a stage where it's no longer a struggle to do what Allah wants from me. There's one time when, let me give you another example. Let's say you have a field here, and there's a plant, a tree inside that field. And when water comes on that plant, then naturally leaves come out of it. Right? So the tree keeps, I chop the tree down, but it keeps shooting up little shrubs. Right? So now what happens is, if I'm working on myself, every time I see a bad trait coming out, I try to get rid of it. But I haven't gotten rid of the root of the problem. The stump is still there. It keeps sending up. Okay. But through self-development and self and spirituality, according to the path of the Ahlul Bayt, I can reach a stage where I can remove the tree, take out the roots, and then now my actions become natural for me to do. What am I trying to do? To remind us, all of us, as practicing mu'mineen, even if there's a certain level of spirituality that we've achieved, there's much more for us to go and achieve. A lot more that we can achieve as mu'mineen. A lot more that we can do. I want to give you an example now. One of the commanders in the battle, the war between Saddam Hussein and the Islamic Republic, was a man named Mahmoud Kaveh. This individual, and a lot of the shuhada, when you study their lives, they were special people. Allah chose the best people and allowed them, gave them the tawfiq of shahada. It wasn't that they were average people. This is an eyewitness account of the character of that person as a reminder of the akhlaqi traits that we can have. Inshallah, Allah give us tawfiq to act according to teachings of Ahlul Bayt and reach these stages. The person who's telling this story is a person who was in charge. Let's say he's the commander. He is either the secretary, he's the person you meet at the door. He says that one of the besieged said that I want to speak to Mahmoud, the commander. I want to talk to him. I have business with him. And he's like, look, he's the commander. He sleeps less than all of us. He takes care of everybody. This guy is suffering, right? He sleeps maybe 2-3 hours a day trying to run around, make sure everybody else has food, water, supplies, enemy, what are they doing, battle plans, all of these things. He has a few hours to sleep. Is it really necessary for you right now? No, I have to see him. I have to talk to him. I have business. I want to see him. So this guy is trying, because he knows the guy is suffering. We give him a few hours to sleep, trying to calm the other guy down so this doesn't take place. He doesn't come and see the guy. The commotion is going outside the office. He hears the words of his commander, Mahmud. He wakes up. What's going on out there? He says, see what you did? You woke him up now. He says, the one of the Basij, he's here. He says he has some business with you. He wants to talk to you. So he gets up, puts on his slippers, comes to the door. Yes, brother, what do you need? He says that I want to take a picture with you. The commander, battle, struggle, resistance, few hours of sleep. You're coming at this time of the day and you want to take a picture with him. He said, why not? Bismillah. Where do you want to take a picture? So he takes the commander. Let's go over to this part of the garden, the place where we're standing. Four or five different locations. He's moving him back and forth. Okay, let's take a picture like this. Okay, but no, this isn't good. On that side. Huh? And the guy just very calmly walking and going here and taking the picture till finally he finishes and the guy goes back and Mahmud, may Allah mercy on his soul, he goes and he sleeps. Then the other guy who's narrating the story comes back. He said, no, was it really worth it? You go over and you get this guy dragging him around, a little bit of sleep that he heard had. You're going to go over and you want a picture with this guy? The guy dropped his head. The Basij, he dropped his head. He said, I heard this guy was humble. He was mutawadhi. I heard that. I wanted to see it myself. There's some people, even under those circumstances, me, God forbid, nastajidu billah, one of you wake me up at that time. Right? You'll see who I read, the haqiqah of Shaykh Usama, you'll see it. But this person, under those circumstances, so humble, no expectation. So there's a great distance that we can travel. Spiritually, there's a lot we can achieve. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects this from us. As the soldiers of the Imam of the time, the people awaiting the return of the Imam will return when you and I become better. We haven't done enough yet. We have to become better. And then, inshallah, our Imam will return. So, this is stuff which is possible for us. So we don't want to be fooled by superficial worldly akhlaq. Not the akhlaq that sometimes even non-Muslims might show us and think, oh, mashallah, that is just so great, my God. That is Islam. Islam is much deeper than that. Or myself. Alhamdulillah, I showed a little bit of humility. I'm at the end of the path. There's nothing left for me to achieve. No, got a long way to go. Now, this verse though shows something else about Zulaykha. Another side of Zulaykha. When we remember back to the first part of the verse, when they first started in verse number 23, when they were describing Zulaykha and trying to have the affair with Yusuf, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in the Qur'an? وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا So the person in whose house he was in, Zulaykha, tried to seduce Yusuf. عَنْ نَفْسِ She tried to seduce him. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ She closed all of the doors, locked them firmly, everything safe, all alone. Now though, Zulaykha has reached the stage in a party, in the castle, openly, yes, I tried to seduce him. I'm a married woman. I tried to seduce, and he didn't submit. Another fadiha, how can you admit? He didn't submit. And if he doesn't, I swear to God. What happened to Zulaykha? From one side, hiding, shame, haya, something. And then now it's like a coming out party. Lack of better words. I don't know if you guys have that here. In America, we have I'm gay and it's okay. Astajiru billah. Coming out in a party to tell everybody that I was like that. So what happened? There's some lessons here for us. Lessons for us to use on ourselves. Lessons for us to use when trying to train others that we can get from this verse. The first thing is this. When a sinner is robbed of their honor, the sinner can become worse. If you take away all of the shame that a sinner has, it can become worse. We're going to see now why it is that Islam gives some of the wisdom, inshallah, behind some of Islam instructions. If somebody makes a mistake, how come we don't expose them? How come we don't do riba? How come we don't attack others? Reveal all of their flaws. Spread it all over Facebook. Tell everybody how they are. Why don't we do that? Now, a couple of things we should remember. Inshallah, we use them as reminders so Allah saves us, and we ask Allah to forgive us in this month of Rahmah. The first thing is this. If I commit a sin, many times Allah, because He's Arhamur Rahimeen, He won't expose me the first time I commit sin. I make a mistake. The first time I can make a mistake, God is Arhamur Rahimeen. He'll give me another chance. He'll try and save me. He doesn't want to ruin me in the beginning. Zulaykha had a chance to have her honor. Even her husband told Yusuf, don't mention it. Right? But Zulaykha, unfortunately, didn't stop herself, didn't learn any lesson. The idea that I was caught with my husband, that wasn't enough. I continue until the sin gets out. So Allah doesn't expose in the beginning. Allah exposes after. The second thing is that in the West, many times they'll tell us to be open about our sins. Be comfortable. Don't have two types of personalities. One personality when I come to the masjid, and one personality when I'm out on the streets. No, I am who I am. Take it or leave it. What they will tell us. The opposite of what Islam is telling us. We have hadith. This is from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Al mustatir bisayyi'a maghfurun lah. The person who does sin in secret is forgiven. I'm not supposed to let others know what I'm doing, mistakes that I've made, if I've slipped, if I've committed a sin. The opposite of what they're telling. In the West, what are they telling us? No, come out, do it, open. Who cares? You're young, have fun. But Islamically, what are they telling me? If I, God forbid, if I slip, I shouldn't do it publicly. I shouldn't do it in front of others. There's a responsibility for this also. God forbid, as a parent, let me start off with this one. As a parent, I never want to commit sin in front of my children and then have them see that dad, mom, the person I look up to, person who's supposed to be inviting me to God, openly commit sin, not ashamed of it. It's okay. That's all I do that's wrong. It makes it so much more difficult for others who are around me. They have a responsibility to do amr bil ma'ruf, nahi anil munkar, to try and stop me. Very difficult. So, or with my friends, right? What I'm trying to do is I'm setting up barriers, layers of protection for myself when I'm living outside the lands of Islam, or even if I'm living inside the lands of Islam. One of the things that keeps me on the right path is hanging out with the righteous. How does that keep me on the right path? Because according to Islam, I'm not supposed to sin in public. I don't want to sin around my friends. I surround myself, I'm protecting myself from shaitan. I surround myself with mu'mineen, with the righteous. That's one of the ways of Allah saving me. So if I hide my sin, maybe Allah will give me tawfiq, I'll make tawbah, I can be forgiven later. Now, it doesn't mean we don't reach out for help though. If I'm struggling with a sin, there's a sin that I have, a problem that I haven't been able to overcome it, that the hadith says, hide, the person who hides the sin is forgiven, so I just continue with the sin. No, obviously I reach out for help, I try and get help, I try and talk to someone to come out of this. But to expose, to flaunt to my sins, that's a mistake. The next thing is our responsibility as believers is to cover the flaws of another believer, not to expose them. We're going to get to what happens if a person is shameless or their shame is removed. But we're told as believers to try and cover others if they commit sin. Example, let me give you the hadith. This is from Imam As-Sadiq, salamullahi alayhi. He says, "Man satara ala mu'minin awra yakhafuha." Whoever covers the flaw of a mu'min. There's a mu'min who is committing a sin, who's doing something wrong. They're afraid. They don't want this to get out. They don't want the world to know. Whoever covers this law, من ستر على مؤمن عورة يخافها ستر الله عليه سبعين عورة. Allah is Arhamur Rahimin. If he sees you're trying to protect the reputation of a Muslim brother or sister, Allah will give you 7 times he will cover your flaws. في الدنيا من عورات الدنيا والآخرة. So God, if he sees that from me, then I would like to cover others. I'd like to save others. I'd like to assist others. My first thing is not faliha, expose them, tell others how terrible they've been. If God sees that, he'll cover my flaws and save me. Again, we said that it's not the case, though, that we hide the flaw from the mu'min himself. You notice a flaw in me, that you hide it even from me. No, you tell me, you try and reform me, you assist me, brother, jazakumullah khairan, but this is incorrect. But from others, we try and hide them. When training children now, right? So not what happens is, we don't want to expose the flaws of others because people become shameless, then they'll do anything. Read you the hadith. This is from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَفْعَلْ مَا شِئْتَ. He says, if you don't have any haya, if you don't have any modesty, if you're not shy, do whatever you want. Shyness itself is a value. The idea that there are some things that I won't do, I'm ashamed of. I may have some problems, some issues, but there's some red lines that no, never, not this. He says, if you don't have that, then do whatever you want. The person who has no red lines, no shame, no haya, do whatever you want. Sometimes what happens when people are raising their children, they might even do this in front of an alim, that the alim comes to the house and in front of the child, not behind the door, mushawara, to go over and speak to the alim, to get the alim to give advice to the child and try and help, in front of, my son doesn't pray, tell him to pray. Whatever, the little honor, I'm meeting a stranger, a complete stranger for the first time, the imam of the masjid, and the first, all whatever honor is that. So that's not the approach. We don't want to destroy anyone's honor. Let them, sometimes even as a parent, I don't let on that I know. I'll try and correct the problem indirectly. I want there to be haya, that they're still ashamed of certain things. The opposite of what they're saying in the West. They're still ashamed of certain things. They're trying not to do certain things. Not expose them, ruin them. So to be very careful about this. None of these things happened, unfortunately, with Zulaykha. So Zulaykha didn't stop herself. When others saw her sin, they didn't speak up against it. In the session, they were like, Subhanallah! My God, well, look what you've been putting up with! In هَذَا إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. Of course you were running after him. Nobody stops Zulaykha. What happens then? If sin is committed in society, a terrible sin like this, in a public gathering, and nobody stops it, nobody speaks up, nobody says this is wrong. We have hadith that explain what this is. This is why we need the imam to return. What's the hadith? This is from Muhammad again, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. إِنَّ الْمَعْسِيَةِ. So the Prophet talking about sin, ma'asiyah, guna. إِنَّ الْمَعْسِيَةِ إِذَا عَمَلَ بِهَا الْعَبْدِ سِرَّ. If a person commits sin in secret, إِنْ عَمَلَ بِهَا سِرَّ, لَمْ تَظُرَّ إِلَّا عَمِلَهَا. The only person who's destroyed and consumed by that sin is the doer of the sin. If I commit a sin in private, it destroys me. What happens if it's done in public? وَإِذَا عَمِلَ بِهَا عَلَانِيَّةِ. If God forbid a sin is committed in public, عَلَانِيَّةِ, وَلَمْ يُغَيَّرْ عَلَيْهِ. And nobody says anything. Nobody speaks up. Nobody says this is obviously wrong. This is incorrect. We shouldn't be doing this. If this doesn't happen, أَذَرَّتْ الْعَامَّةِ. Destroys society. We need a divine leader. We need the laws of Islam to be established. We need that munkar and wrong and falsehood and batil, people stand against it, that it's opposed. Not that it's coming, it's okay, everybody go their own path. No. In society, if sin happens and nobody says anything, it destroys everyone. So believers have to take a stance on this. There's also a lesson that we can get here, even for families now. The lesson being this, that I mentioned the other day, the idea of women being feminine, not being manly. We discussed the why it was that the Zuleika's husband didn't say anything over here. We said there was either two options. One of them is that he didn't have ghayra, he didn't care, he could care less what Zuleika did. The other one, that he was so in love with Zuleika, he wasn't in charge of his own household. That's a big mistake. There should be some order in the house. Not that a woman is so brave and so tough. You know, her husband gets out of line, tells her husband, "You make my day." Chuck Norris. No, it should be femininity. It should be softness. Not that she can't have any. No, she wants to, in the relationship, there is something. Sometimes what happens, if the husband isn't respected, it has a trickle-down effect on the kids. Once someone came to one of the ulama, a woman came to one of the ulama, practicing lady, teacher in a school, this is in the Islamic Republic. She said, "I've been able to convince hundreds of girls to wear the hijab." Alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah. But she said that my own daughters, they don't wear hijab. The alim asked her, he said that, "Do you respect your husband in the house?" She said, "No, he's not like me. He's not educated. I'm a teacher." There you go. If your daughter, and this is not an excuse for anyone, but if the girl in the house sees that the dad is a weakling, a chump, even sometimes his love won't matter to her. She wants somebody a little bit of a bad boy. You say if you're going to kill an ant, the ant at least puts up a little fight, kicks its leg, something. Right? But I've whipped my husband so much, he can't say anything, don't dare. Then his love doesn't mean anything. When he's trying to, then the girl, you know, sees first time she sees some bad boy on the street. So that respect, it should be there. Inside the house. Another thing that we get, which again, inshallah, is a lesson that we can apply for ourselves, even over here, is that there's two types of respect. There is one feigned respect, and then there's real respect. Zuleika, in the first part of the story, running outside, caught by the husband. Husband standing over there, she shows respect to the husband. What is the punishment, the jaza, of someone who wants to do something bad to your wife? That wasn't real respect. Her husband was a chump. I'm going to go over, get him to not punish me right now while he's really angry. After that, in a party, to everyone, announce to the world, "Hey, you Anas, I'm coming after this guy. He better do what I want." Where's real respect, though, in the verse? The words of Zuleika, talking about Yusuf. وَلَقَدْ رَاوَدْتُهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. I tried to seduce Yusuf. فَاسْتَعْصَمْ. Yusuf absolutely refused. Yusuf didn't budge when it came to his principles. I tried to seduce him, but he didn't. Now I'm threatening him. Now I'm going to punish him. But real deep down respect is for those who stick to their principles. Not for those who give in. I'm going to make the world love Muslims by backing down on my principles. Huh? I'll integrate. I'm showing you I'm just like you. I come into an interview, for instance, I'm just like you. Shake hands with a non-mahram. Right? The temptation comes. Violate certain principles of mine. There's alcohol at the table. I'm not supposed to sit at that table. But
I want to show that with good akhlaq. Shaitan, what's Shaitan telling me? I'll have good akhlaq. Slowly I'll get them to the path of Ahlul Bayt. Internally, disgust. I read a report once. This person was talking about these Muslims and they're trying to defend terrorism. Right? Muslims are not terrorists, Islam is peace, right? The person's writing the report. They said the Muslims started off with their old baloney. You know, Islam is peace. So you could smell the horse manure. Be strong. That kind, that fake respect doesn't mean anything. Where does real respect come? When I stick to my principles. I die with my boots on. You adjust for me. Islam is here to stay. There's something really terrible about 9/11. Okay? It doesn't mean I'm a terrorist. It doesn't mean I agree with 9/11. I was watching, the people were protesting this event. And of course, we condemned the event, whoever did it, whether it was the Secret Services of the U.S. or whoever else, because scientifically, it wasn't those planes that brought that down. Anyhow, whoever did it, it was bad. They were making a protest about Muslims, right? And I hope you guys can understand what I'm trying to say. A protest about Muslims, and they said these Muslims want to build a masjid by this site. And there was a sign that they were holding. They said, wherever the Muslims have a victory, they make a masjid. Right? Remember there? Right? This is it. Now, what's the point, though, that we can get? The point being, though, that we're here, like, there's sometimes when, as a Muslim, I feel so lucky to be here. They let me in. I'm an immigrant. This is their country. There's another time as a Muslim, I belong here. I get all of my rights just like anybody else. No apologies for being a Muslim. One time they were telling the story of one of the, he maybe is Shaheed now, at least he's missing in action. His name was Ahmed Mutawassalian. So he had gone from Iran to go and assist the brothers in Lebanon, and he was speaking. He's a very tall man, he was talking, and he talked with his hand pointing down. He said, wherever there is a Muslim in the world, and that Muslim says, Ya lil Muslimin, that person calls out for help for the believers, we will rush to that area and we will save that Muslim. He said, wherever there isn't a Muslim, we will plant one Muslim. That Muslim will say, Ya lil Muslimin, and we will rush and defend that Muslim. We're here to stay, we're not going anywhere. No apologies. I'm sorry I'm a Muslim. Forgive me for not drinking alcohol. No, I'm sure. You're going to adjust. Why not? Of course not. We respect religions. Very different approach. So that approach is the right approach. That's the approach that's going to have the imam return. I'm proud of being a Muslim. Others will adjust. Others will adjust. So as it says in the Holy Quran, وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They have hadith talking about people who have this trait, who are strong in their faith, even when they're far away from the lands of Islam. This can be you and I, brothers and sisters. This can be you and I. Right? We have to remember that the ahadith that talk about those who are the followers of the imam, who for them, the absence of the imam is just as if he was here. For all of us, we know the imam right now is watching us. He's listening to our conversation. He knows us by name, sees us. We know these things. For those people who have this belief, they are better than all of the other previous nations' hadith. But what is the expectation from us? The hadith that applies to you and I, and it can apply to us over here. There is a verse in the Quran, if you look in Surah 16, verse number 120. This is what it says. Inna Ibrahim kana ummah. That Ibrahim, one person, was a nation. Now listen to the hadith. A man comes to Imam al-Sadiq, alayhi salam, and he tells him, he says that, إِنِّي أَدْخُلُ بِلَادَ الشِّرْكِ. He says that I travel from the Muslim lands, and I go over to the non-Muslim lands, perhaps for business or these things, I go over there. وَإِنَّ مَنْ عِنْدَنَا يَقُولُونَ. And our brothers, those who are with us, say this, إِن مِتَّ ثُمَّ خُشِرْتَ مَعَهُمْ. If you die, you're going to be raised with them. So I live, I travel, I do business, I'm in the lands away from Islam, and my brothers, the other Shia, are saying that if you die over there, you're going to be raised with those people. The Imam asked him a question, and this can apply to you and I. He said, when you're over there, do you invite to us? Through your actions, through your words, do you call to the path of Ahlul Bayt? Am I a practicing Muslim doing what my responsibility is, not backing down, not compromising? Of course, with excellent akhlaq. Excellent akhlaq. He says, yes, I do that. He says, what about when you're in the Muslim lands? Lands which are Muslims were oppressed over there, he says. I can't do that. I can't call to the path of Ahlul Bayt over there. The Imam says this, إِنَّكَ إِن تَمُدْ ثُمَّ تُحْشَى أُمَّ وَحْدَكَ. If you die over there, calling to the path of Ahlul Bayt, practicing your principles, you, one person, will be raised as an ummah. Each one of us, brothers and sisters. If we stick to the path, if we do the principles and follow the instructions of Ahlul Bayt, Imam's telling us, each one of us will be raised as a nation. He saying, continues, he says, يَسْعَى نُورُكَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْكَ. Your light will race before you. So, we see this. We see the believers can be in these non-Muslim lands, but we have to be looking for real respect, real honor, real izzah, which is by relying on Islam and not by integrating in that wrong fashion. Now, one thing that we do see in the story of Zulaykha, it's a person, but this is also true for a nation. We see that Zulaykha wanted to get Yusuf to stop worshiping God. And those powers, the tyrannical powers, is the same thing. They have the stick and the carrot strategy. Offer you the carrot, if that doesn't work, the stick. Yusuf, if you come, have a relationship, the dunya is there for you. If you don't, then imprisonment. And those powers of the world, although they may have wonderful slogans, no, the reality is a tyrannical way of behavior. So they made noble excuses, but... Now, last point now, inshallah, is the response of Yusuf, salamullahi alayhi. So what we learn from the tafsir is that the women, first he had Zulaykha who was bothering him. Now we have, after this, Zulaykha openly in the party saying that I'm coming after him, he better listen. Even, according to some of the tafsir, other women now they know who Yusuf is, they're sending notes and messages, right? So Yusuf's problems have now been combined. What did Yusuf say at this stage? So verse number 33. قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيْهِ. Lord, speaking to God, Lord, the prison is more beloved to me than what they are inviting me to it, what they are inviting me towards. وَإِلَّا تَصْرِفْ عَنِّي كَيْدَهُنَّ أَصْبُ إِلَيْهِنَّ وَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. He says that if you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not turn their schemes away from me, I will incline towards them. And I will become one of the ignorant. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam is not afraid of Zulaykha or her threats or her problems or her issues or the women, or if you don't do this you're going to go to jail. Yusuf alayhi salam is a true muwahid. Who does he turn back to? His Lord. He does everything that's at his disposal. But we talked about the concept of tawakkul before. The idea that I don't believe that I have control over the asbab or the means. I do my responsibility, but I believe it's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me just mention a little bit about this concept of tawakkul that we see over here. I want to take you guys to the Battle of Badr. Battle of Badr. To see this concept of tawakkul and the idea, the principle, that I do everything that's at my disposal, but I believe that the means are all under God's control. In the Battle of Badr, I want you to look at this now from the eyes of the Prophet. I want to quote some, explain the words of the actions of the Prophet over here so we can see an example
of a mutawakkil.
The battle began. The enemy come out, three times in number basically of the Muslims, and they call out, they send their champions out there to go and fight the believers. Three champions come out, and three of the Muslims go out to face these champions, and they ask them to identify themselves, and they say that we're from the Ansar. They say, no, we don't want to fight you. We want to fight our equals. We want to fight people who are also from Quraysh like us. And the Prophet, they said, and when I was looking at Bihar al-Anwar, the Prophet didn't want this to happen. He wanted his own family to go and sacrifice themselves first. He goes and he gets three of his relatives, Ubaydullah, Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada, and Ali, Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he sends them out. They identify themselves. They say, oh, we're equals now. The battle starts. The battle starts. And Amir al-Mu'mineen, he describes how he was fighting his opponent. He says that I was able to chop off one of his hands. The guy was so strong, he picks up his hand and he flings his hand at me. The right hand that I cut off, he flings it at me. Amir al-Mu'mineen said it was like the heaven was coming on the earth. That's, the guy tries to run according to some of the what we find in Bihar al-Anwar, and he chops him down and he kills him. So Amir al-Mu'mineen kills his guy. The other older gentleman, Ubaydullah, around 70 years old, he's fighting with his opponent. He hits him, he kills him, but his legs are chopped from the shins down. He falls. Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada, was struggling with his opponent. The Muslims, when they saw what he had done with his opponent, Al-Walid, they tell him, they say, you see what that dog is doing to your uncle? He's struggling. Amir al-Mu'mineen comes behind Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada. He says, he tells his uncle, he says, duck. Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada, was taller than his opponent. He said, duck. So Hamza brings his head down. Amir al-Mu'mineen takes his sword and he chops off the top half of the other guy's head. Dips, and they come back to the Prophet of Allah. They come back to the Prophet of Allah. When they come back to the Prophet of Allah, the main battle is about to begin now. Now I want you to see this concept of tawakkul. So they come back to the Prophet of Allah, and the Prophet of Allah, remember that there were different times when shaitan, we learn from certain ahadith and the words of ulama, that there were different times where shaitan took human form. One of them, they say, is in the Battle of Badr, that Shaitan came in there. So Quraysh is coming now. The main battle is about to start. Quraysh coming now, and Shaitan carrying the standard for the Mushrikeen versus the Muslims. So this is what it says. فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ The Prophet looked at, sees the Shaitan coming with the army of Quraysh, all of this number coming to wipe Islam off the face of the earth, and now you see the tawakkul of the Prophet. Although he has done his strategy perfectly, although he's planned everything, although he has a champion like Amir al-Mu'mineen, all of his reliance is on God. At this time, in the middle of the battle, they said that he raised his hands to the... First he told the believers, he said, غُضُّ أَبْصَارَكُمْ So lower your eyes, lower your gaze. He says, clench your teeth. And no one draw the sword until I give you the command. And then at this stage it says that he raised his hands to the heavens and he said, Ya Rab, in tahlik hadhihi al-isaba la tu'abad. He says that if you destroy this nation, this group, then you're not going to be worshipped on the face of the earth. So the Prophet, he has all of those things at his disposal. Amir al-Mu'mineen, the believer's strategy, look down, get ready, all of these things. But everything, reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing with Yusuf alayhi salam. One might wonder, how is it that Yusuf alayhi salam, he's praying and he's saying that if you don't, illa tasrif anni kaydahunna, if you don't turn their kayd, their plots, their schemes from me, asbu ilayhinna. How is the ma'soom saying this? Why is he saying, I will incline to them? Is ma'soom? Why would he say that? A beautiful woman is beautiful. Even for Yusuf, she's beautiful. I'm not saying that he's going to commit sin, but she's attractive. And the ma'asum, even better than we do, senses that whatever he has is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't see any la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah for himself. He doesn't see any strength without the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever I have is from God. I'm trying everything. Everything that I have at my disposal, I'm trying. I'm making sure that I won't let this happen. But I realize all of that is with God's assistance. So for the ma'asum, and this isma that he's given is something which is given to him gradually, Allah Ta'ala tells us. It's not that the ma'asum has been given this gift of isma, and it's like you wind up a clock, and then the clock just continues ticking on its own. Gradually, every second he's getting this gift from God, and he knows if God even leaves him for a second, he's nothing. So he says that if you don't turn their schemes away from me, I will incline towards them. And I will become one of the jahil. So the verse, as a reminder to all of us, and first myself, is this one, Surah 30, and verse number 15. Ya ayyuhan nas. We want to get to a stage where we can witness this verse, of course. Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. You are in need of Allah, وَهُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ and Allah, وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْحَمِيدُ وَاللَّهُ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ and Allah, He is the all-sufficient, the all-laudable, the all-laudable. So the ma'asum, even better than we do, understands his need and dependence on God, and for this reason, even more earnest than we are in our dua, the ma'asum is making this dua. So it wasn't that Yusuf alayhi salam jinxed himself by making this dua, that because he made this, then Allah ended up putting him in prison. I realize that I'm nothing without God. We ask Allah by the word of Muhammad wa ala Muhammad that He make us true mutawakkileen. We ask Allah by the word of Muhammad wa ala Muhammad that He protect all of the believers, mu'mineen, mu'minat, in the time of the ghaibah, and that He makes us the soldiers of the Imam in his absence, and then inshallah in his presence. We ask that he protect all of the maraja and especially the leader. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Vi har frågestund. Ni kan som vanligt skriva ner frågorna eller ställa dem